It would seem that here at the end, Jesus finally made a misstep in his ministry. One fatal mistake. Our gospel lesson starts off when he had gone out. That's Judas. Judas has gotten up and left to go betray Jesus and turn him over to the authorities. And it's then that Jesus finally gets to this bit about love. Judas has left, and Jesus finally says, love one another. If he had gotten to this 5 minutes earlier in dinner, Judas could have realized that he loved Jesus. And the thing about love is it bears all things. And when there's love present, Judas could have said, well, you know, Jesus, I've got a little bit of a beef with the way things are headed here. I'm not entirely happy with this campaign we're running. Let's talk about this. And Jesus, in love, could have had that conversation with him. But Jesus drops the ball and brings this up after Judas has left. Of course, this is a bit ridiculous, because it makes too much of Judas's capacity to love. Well, humanity's capacity to love. Because if that would have been the way things played out, that Judas realizes his great mistake in his love for Jesus, well then Judas is probably the divine one there. It's Judas's love that would have overcome doubt and mistrust and sin. Judas would have been his own savior. We could have sung hymns to Judas today. It doesn't ring as well in hymnody as Jesus. Love, this new commandment to love one another, it's not a replacement for all of the other commandments. It's not that the 10 commandments and the hundreds of others are out the window. Those commandments still ring true. Jesus is just putting a new thing out there, an interpretive lens, telling his followers, love is the lens through which all of this works. Love is the purpose and the goal and the reason and the power of all of this. Peter gets trapped in this in our first reading. He says, oh, nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. He's defining his position in God's kingdom and in God's care by things he hasn't done. The commandments become then just a list of things to avoid. Well, some of them we do, but it's earning our place. It falls apart decently quickly, though. This people will know you're gods because of the things you don't do. Our confirmands today. Are they getting confirmed because of all these things they haven't done? Like, Reed, he's great. So great, he never kills people. He has never stabbed anyone. Good job, Reed. You're such a great Christian, right? This is the way Peter is defining himself. Maybe not to those extremes. I'm prone to hyperbole. Forgive me. But this life of love, it turns those commandments. To not kill, as Luther writes in the Small Catechism and the confirmands have been studying, you take this negative, and through this lens of love, it becomes not about avoiding murder, but about upbuilding your neighbor, helping them improve their health, improve their life and their happiness and their relationships. To love, laid over all these other commandments, turns it into this life of action, into a positive thing that we're participating in and drawing nourishment from. It's not entirely possible, though. Just as Judas's love for his friend and teacher wasn't enough to keep him at the table that night, our capacity for love isn't enough to heal the whole world. I'd be hard-pressed to say that I actually love my neighbors as much as myself. And I'm decently skeptical of myself. I don't know what that says, how I feel about my neighbors. So if we aren't even that good at loving, at these positive things, how is it that we can think we have any standing before God? Well, Judas isn't our savior. He couldn't save himself, couldn't save us. We don't save ourselves either. It's God who saves us. It's Jesus who is our Savior. He's the one who loves us sufficiently. The one who actually cares for neighbor. Just before Judas went out, Jesus knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. Judas among them. In the other Gospels, Judas also receives the first communion, the Last Supper, along with the rest of the 12. Jesus loved Judas. When we get to the accounts of the resurrection, Judas isn't there. In some accounts, we hear that he's gone off and killed himself. But that doesn't mean that the empty tomb isn't for Judas too. Because remind me of the story where death was too much for God's love to overcome. If Christ's love is also for Judas, surely it can extend to you and I. Surely it can extend to those who we don't see as inside the circle of God's love. This same issue that Peter was wrestling with in the Acts text. The early church wrestling with who's in God's love, who did Christ die for, and who is outside of that. When God's Spirit is active in love in the world, how can we hinder that? So if the way we love each other isn't getting us salvation, that's taken care of. Well, then what are we doing? What is this life of faith? When there's nothing left to earn, when there's nothing left to do, who are we as God's people? Beloved children? Redeemed people, filled with the Spirit. And this life of action in love becomes not about finding our place, about getting something and earning enough. It becomes about celebration. It becomes about embracing the beauty and glory that creation is meant to be, grabbing a hold of it and experiencing it to its fullness. The commandments become about the way that God intends a world without sin and death, a world without crying and sickness. That's what love is. We know it in part. But on that day, we'll know the fullness of God's love. Being able to finally love each other as God has loved us, seeing each other face to face, right along with Judas and everyone else who Christ died and rose for. Amen.